This is the Yahoo Sports NBA Podcast, hosted by Chris Mannix. From interviews.
Let's bring in John Wall.
He's Reggie Miller.
Bring in Eric Spoelstra.
To the latest NBA news. To insights you won't get anywhere else.
Rioting is bad. You shouldn't riot.
Past episodes of the podcast can be downloaded in the iTunes Store and Google Play.
Why wouldn't you go back?
Subscribe and leave a rating or comment. Here he is.
Speaking of guys putting their foot in the road.
Chris Mannix.
Yes.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Yahoo Sports NBA Podcast. My guest this week is Scott Brooks, the head coach of the Washington Wizards. Was an interesting season last year for Washington. Didn't reach the same win totals they had the year before. Snuck into the playoffs, had to deal with a whole bunch of injuries. They go into this next season with even more expectations. Expectations that they'll be a top five team. They add Dwight Howard to the mix. We'll talk to Scott about that. So a lot to get into there. As always, best way to support this podcast, go over to Apple Podcast, also known as iTunes, post a comment, leave a rating. It's simple. It's easy. It's free. It's the best way to make sure we keep doing this podcast week after week. All right. Now my conversation with Wizards head coach Scott Brooks. All right. My guest this week, let's be honest, he's filler. We need we need some audio for this podcast for the month of August. So we have tracked down Scott Brooks, who has been texting nonstop about being back on the podcast.
At least I'm a good filler.
Yes, he swore last year that he was done, that he was out, but he is back for more, the head coach of the Washington Wizards. What's up, Scotty?
Chris, I can't get enough. I appreciate this opportunity to spend 20 minutes with you.
Does Summer League for you, what do you get out of Summer League? Do you like Summer League?
I absolutely love it. And the reason I love it, because when I played, it meant everything to me. So I know going into Summer League, it means everything for all the players that we bring in. I mean, you never know who that guy could be. I mean, obviously, we're looking at our number one pick, Troy and Devin and Esuf, our second-round pick. But there's all the other guys, and now you have to give them the fair opportunity to really give them a chance to shine and see if they can help your team.
How many Summer Leagues did you play in?
I played in a lot, but I loved playing in them. You know, nowadays, if you're drafted, you might play in one and then maybe a game or two the next season, but I love it. I think the only way you get better is by playing against competition that's motivated, that's fighting for positions. And there's no matter what you do in a pickup situation in the summer, they're not going to be as competitive and as hungry as you're going to play against guys in the summer league.
This has become, too, a phenomenon out here. All 30 teams, I think, for the first time this year.
Even but we're not going to give Warren Legarry credit.
No.
We are not going to give him that. His head is already big enough. We're going to need a new arena for him.
Let's find himself, somebody else to credit.
Right?
Like the Goodmans, the Goodman family, the mayor of...
perfect.
Yes.
Let's give Albert Hall.
Albert Hall.
Marnie.
Yes. Anybody but Warren gets credit for the city. You have any good memories from playing in Summer League?
I remember when I was first trying out, they had, back then it was at Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles, and they had two leagues in the summer league. They had an NBA division and a free agent division. And the free agent division, you practice like 7 a.m. and you played at 8 a.m. and nobody was there watching, and they promised you there was going to be many scouts in the NBA and many European scouts, but only people in the stands were your family and watching you. And then you had to shine. But luckily for me, I did everything that my coach asked, and I stayed around, and I even got involved in a couple of different practices from NBA because they needed players to fill in their spot. See, I'm a perfect fill-in, right? Long
filler,
time ago.
You're a filler as a player and a
my
filler as a
middle name. But you know what? I was
bridge guy in Washington as the coach. You know, it's nice.
Right?
Collect
perfect.
A check and you're good to
keep
go.
Keep adding on. But I was lucky enough they had the Atlantic Hawks and a Russian, some of the Russian national players were traveling together going to all the summer leagues. And it's like it was Spud Webb and Marcelonis and a bunch of good players. I think even Doc might have played on the team. But so they needed a team to play against. So they formed an all-star team. And the head of the summer league back then was a guy named Mitchell. And he invited me to play on the team. And he started me. And I had the best game of my summer league experience. I had, I think, 5 threes and I think 7 or 8 assists and played well. And then the next day, I got offers to try out for Philadelphia. So that's probably the moment, the game that gave me a chance to have a career.
Were you a summer league coach too in your assistant days? Did you? Because you see a lot of these young assistants getting kind of their first turns at being head coaches during this 2 week stretch.
Yes, I was, and was thankful for it. You know, it's an honor when the head coach appoints you as the assistant coach or the head coach to run the summer league, and you can. you gain so much. I mean, there's nothing like a preseason game, and there's nothing like a regular season game, and then there's nothing like a playoff game, and it just keeps going on how far you go into the playoffs. But it gives you the taste of what the head coaches go through. You know, you gotta juggle all the different lineups. You gotta juggle the minutes and the play calls and the first round picks and the guys that are trying to make the team, the last year's pick, and you want everybody to have success and do well and give them fair opportunities. But you learn a lot, and I think it makes you become a better assistant coach for it.
Do you encourage your assistant coaches to lose at the end of summer league so everybody can go home? Because nobody wants to be the champion of summer league. Because that means you're here till like the following Wednesday.
I said you can win the first three but lose the fourth game.
Yes. Yes. No. First round, out.
Right.
The earliest you can get out is the first Friday of summer league.
It's a long time in Vegas. But you know what? You know what? You go to win. You go – Richmond is my assistant coach. I just promoted him to be on my bench, and he's doing a great job. He's a great, great coach, and you know, he's 29 years old, but I don't look at his age. He's a terrific coach. He's going to have a tremendous career in this league. But you know, we want to win. We want to really, what the main thing we focus on is building professional habits. We want to make sure these guys understand what it takes to be a Wizard player. You got to do the right things. You got to be on time. You got to do your work. You got to get after it in practice. You got to compete for your teammates during games. But there's a lot of things that entail to be an NBA player.
What did you think, speaking of your summer league team, Troy Brown, one of the bigger surprises in the first half of the draft. I don't know if a lot of people had him projected in that kind of range. What have you seen out of him? What did you see out of him kind of in the process there that you liked?
You know, when we were going through all the players and going to Chicago and bringing players in, about 2 weeks before the draft, Ernie and I, we met over all the players that we brought in or all the players that we're looking at. And he said, hey, keep an eye on this Troy Brown kid. He's really good. He fits what we need, a very versatile player that has a good feel for the game. And so I started watching film on him, and I really liked what I saw. And then we brought him in. I met him, and just a terrific kid. And I think he fills what we need. He's a guy that can guard multiple positions. He's a guy that's going to continue to work hard. He has a great family. He's young. He's 18. Doesn't turn 19 until a month or so. So in the way the league is going, he gives us good versatility. He can guard many, many different style of players. And he's big size. He's 6'7", wingspan like 6'11". So he has a good potential. And the thing I love about him, he's going to work. He's not afraid of the gym. He's going to continue to work. And he's been terrific since we've drafted him.
Do you like it to have a guy like that around? Because you have to temper expectations, of course, for what a guy can do at 18 years old in his first year. But do you like to have guys around? Do you like to have him in the G League doing stuff? I mean, what's your general philosophy on that?
I think it's a combination. You know, we're fortunate we have him, and we can move him along slow. We got some pretty good players that have played in front of him that will probably play in front of him this year, but he's going to fight for him. He's going to fight for minutes. He's going to fight hard against them, and that's what you want. So there's going to be times that we put him in our G League team, and this year we're starting our own G League team, the Capital City Go-Go. So it's going to be a great opportunity. It's right.
What's it called?
The Go-Go.
The Go-Go?
Yes.
Is that your idea?
Yes. Perfect, right? Music.
Your style of play, too. Go-Go.
We talk about Prince for 30 minutes if you want.
I don't want to talk about Prince for 30 minutes. I don't even, I know like two songs Prince
plays. We want to talk about The Cure?
No. Tom Petty. We can talk about Tom Petty.
Okay,
yes, we can do that.
Free Falling.
Tom Petty. I saw one of the last Tom Petty concerts before he passed.
Okay.
He was in Boston. I went to see him. He was still good at 66 years old.
Man. Amazing how talented these guys are.
I'm shocked he passed away. I mean, how much drugs must somebody have been doing for his entire career? As a rock star in the 80s. Not like your lifestyle. I mean, you're big NBA talent in the 80s. What were your nightlife's like in the 80s and 90s?
Nightlife? Back then, we had a nightlife together as a team because we didn't fly out the next right after the game. We stayed over and took the 6 a.m. flight. So you needed your rest, but you always got together at the lobby, you know, bar and had a meal and whatever if you like to drink. But it wasn't crazy. I mean, I was barely making the team. I wasn't gonna jeopardize my the talent that I had and waste it on a fatigue on a late night and have fatigue the next morning. If I had a guaranteed contract like they have now, I might be different, right? I was a make good contract year after year.
You and Charles know
We had a few nights together. Bet. You know, he's my mom was worried because I told Charles that I was going to tell my mom that you're going to take me under your wing and you're going to be the role model that I'm going to look up to.
He's not a role model. Remember, he is not a role model.
He was a role model to me, actually.
But he says he's not.
Yeah, you know, he said that was a big Nike thing. But you know what? One of the best teammates I've ever played for, just a great person. And he did so many things off the court that he was too tough to let anybody know about. But he had probably the biggest heart I've ever been around.
I still see him in a broadcasting role. Like, you could go, like, say, Oklahoma City, Renaissance Bar till it closes. He's around. Anybody can walk up to him. Anybody can buy him a drink. He'll buy them a drink. I've seen him close those random bars down still.
There's never been a person that he has met that they don't feel like they're the best friends by the end of the night. All he would do is just throw down his credit card and buy whatever anybody wanted for the night. He had the most generous, the incredible guy. Just like I can't say enough good things about him. I learned a lot being his teammates for 2 years.
That was like you, though, right? With a debit card. Like, here's my limit. I'm going to throw that down. You can pay $100, then it's cut off. So if you want a tip, stop it at like 85.
It wasn't even my choice. The car gave me the limit.
Yeah. There you go. This past season, disappointing, you know, with you go from 49 to 43 wins. Obviously, the injury to John disrupted things. But how would you look back at – what would you evaluate this past season?
I think I look at it as like almost twofold. It was we had a lot of expectations going in. You know, we played – Boston for a 7-game series, a great series that could have gone either way. So going into the season, we had high expectations. And, you know, unfortunately for us, injury is part of the game, and you have to have good fortune to have success. And, you know, but John hurt himself, I think it was like game 9 or 10. Give him credit. He fought and battled and didn't want to take time off and played probably 30 games or so with his injury. But, you know, we knew that we weren't going to put him in harm's way, but we knew we had to monitor and did all we can. But we ended up, he's missed 41 games. And for the most part, you look back, and you know, I going into the season, if you'd have told me John misses 41 games, will we make the playoffs? I would say I would hope so, but I would not have been able to do it and say it with confidence that we would. But guys stepped up. Brad stepped up. Kelly stepped up. Otto, Keith, and Thomas. Thomas really stepped up. At that time, I didn't know what type of pro he would become. And now I know he's a very good player. He's going to have a long career in this league.
Are you know, John's tied to a long-term contract, a lot of money in that contract. I mean, is it a daily thing with you and kind of monitoring him and monitoring that knee? Because it seems, I mean, calling it chronic is kind of fair at this point because it's been an issue year in, year out for the most part.
Yeah, he's had a couple surgeries, I think two out of the last 3 years. There's definitely not only John with all of our players. That's the great thing about the modern NBA with all the new technology, the biometrics that we have. All these guys have things on their bodies that monitor everything they do. And it's great. Sometimes you get frustrated as a coach because you want to keep working the guys, but you know that everything that we see, all the data tells us they can extend their career for many, many, many more years. And so, you know, I have to do a good job of monitoring him, whether it's practice, shoot around, or games, you know. But it's hard. You know, you're in a competitive situation. You want to finish the game. You want to finish it strong, but his minutes are high. You just have to be wise. Luckily for me, he has had a great summer and has really trained and he's conditioned. I follow him on Instagram and all the social media, everybody. That's the great thing about
it. You got your burner account too?
Yeah,
you
I got yours. Not yet, but maybe I need one, yours? Right? The one thing about him, man, you could follow all the players and the summer of separation, he's calling it, and his body looks impressive.
It's been like half an hour trying to come up with the right name for you for a burner account. Like, what's a good Scott Brooks like? Played for 14 teams or something like that.
Go filler.
Filler at filler 1-2-3. That'd be a good one too. Do you, because of the injury, do you look at going into next season like we're just gonna pick up kind of where we thought we were gonna be, or do you feel the need, like, whether it's the style you play, or I mean the personnel is largely the same. We'll get into Dwight in a minute, but do you feel like you need to make a radical change, or do you just chalk up last season to John's injury and try to go in with the same kind of mindset?
I think you have to understand that that's always in the back of your mind, his injury. So we never know what would have happened. You need your best players to stay healthy for an extended amount of time, especially late in the season going into the playoffs. But With that being said, you know, a couple of things I want to get accomplished going into the next season. We have to just go out there and play and let our play do the talking. And the thing that we also have to do, we got to control our emotions. You know, we've been a high volume technical team, and you know, we have guys that are very emotional, play with a lot of passion, which we need, but we got to be able to harness that and control it and make sure that it's not helping the other team out. And it's going into this season, you know, we've added some very fiery players in Dwight and Austin. So we've added some, but we need to be able to play with our composure and play with a lot of toughness, aggressiveness, but also keep our emotions in check.
So how do you do that? How do you coach that? I mean, that seems like something an individual is going to have to take on and say, I am not going to be I'm going to maintain discipline more than I did before.
Well, yeah, you know, it's going to be a challenge individually when we talk and meet one-on-one throughout the rest of the summer. And as with the group, it's going to be talked about. We just got to, I mean, I'm not going to say we're all of a sudden going to be, you know, have no tees. You know, that's just part of the game. There's no question. And you have to play with passion, but you got to also understand that you can't let that energy take away from what's really important. That's the next play, because you can't ever get the play back. So hopefully we can continue to build that mindset and do that and believe in it and buy into it and be about it all season long.
We'll get back to Scott Brooks in just a minute, but I have to tell my listeners about a great new offer from the folks over at Quicken Loans. Support for the Yahoo Sports NBA podcast with me comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Now let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. That gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock up your interest rate for 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate either stays the same, but if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Mannix. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Now, back to my conversation with Scott Brooks.
Did you have any concern after when you hit a team that has the core together as long as they do? Sometimes a front office will wonder, have we stagnated? Do we need to, you know, make a significant change? Did you have any questions about whether or not your front office, Tommy, Ernie, would, you know, keep this group together or try to break it apart?
Well, I like what they've done. They've kept the core together, and we've traded away some pieces or did not sign some guys back. And that's part of it. You have to be able to continue to build your team and your program to pieces that are going to continue to improve and continue to play well. And the league does change. And the one thing that I will say about Marcin Gortat is that he's very durable. He's played 2 years, and he gave our team, myself, everything he had, and I wish him well. But, you know, we got a great player in return, Austin Rivers. We needed somebody like that off of our bench, and sometimes you got to give a good piece to get a really good piece. We didn't have that, and now we have that. And along with Kelly Oubre's growth, now we feel like we have a pretty strong bench, added a couple more pieces to that. And with Thomas's improvement, now we feel that our bench can really step up and play well and be able to not only keep leads, but extend leads.
Do you see Austin backing up two positions? How do you envision kind of using him next year?
You know, I've spent some time with him this summer already, and, you know, he's a lot bigger than I thought. I thought, you know, a lot of players, you know, you coach against them and you see them and their measurements might say one thing, but, you know, they're usually, you know, 1.5 inches or 2 inches shorter. But
you were about 6'3", listed,
I was 6'2
right?
and a half, actually, okay, on all, gotcha. All my rookie cards.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Right? No, I mean Austin's, he's a legit 6'4". So I think you can play him at the one, you can play him at the two, and you can play him if we want to go small at the three. The thing I love about him, he's tough. And, you know, you got to be tough if you're going to guard bigger players. And, you know, you have to have defensive schemes that can help a smaller player guard bigger players. But none of the schemes that you can implement toughness. And if that player has a toughness, the schemes are going to work. So I think you can play him at all over the floor. If we want to go small, you can put him at the three.
All right, let me ask you about Dwight. You bring him in late or middle of the way through the offseason. And he's a guy that proved last year he was durable, played, 81 games last year, put up some good numbers. But there are questions, not just about the personality stuff. We can get to that in a minute. But has the game kind of evolved past Dwight Howard? I mean, defensively especially, with the way the pick and roll is set up and everything's so perimeter-oriented, how do you use a Dwight Howard? I mean, when you look at Dwight, how do you think that you can use him? Do you use him the same way you use Gortat, or are there differences that you can play him?
No, one of the things that we struggled with last year is rebounding the basketball. We were in the middle of the pack, and then when we went small, we even had a more of a difficult time getting a rebound. We'd make a team miss, and nothing more frustrating for your team or your coach is getting offensive rebounds put back for threes or easy layups. But he can clean up a lot of that. His skill set is still at a high level. He's been very durable the last couple of years. He had the surgery a few years back, but he's been durable. He's gives us what we need. We need a defensive presence. We need a guy that can block shots, can alter shots, and get defensive rebounds. And the pick and roll coverages, they're obviously can be different. His skill is not going to be able to blitz and chase point guards around. But, you know, we can funnel him in, or funnel players into him, and make him be the guy that makes the guard miss shots. So we're excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity to work with him. I've heard, you know, that he has a good work ethic, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. He impacts winning. He rebounds. He defends. And another thing that he does well, and we haven't had, I don't know if John's had that in a while, is this guy plays above the rim. He catches lobs. And, you know, there's nothing like the speed of John's game, and also have that defensive big make tough decisions. Now we can throw the lob up to him. You don't even have to throw a good pass. He's going to be able to catch it.
Do you see him fitting in? I mean, one thing he does adversely affect is spacing. He doesn't have a lot of range on that shot. I mean, with what you guys do, trying to clear space for John to drive, trying to clear with Bradley on the outside, how do you see that working offensively in the half court anyway?
Yeah, you know what? He's a great screen center. He's agile. He can get from point A to point B and then get back to point A on a roll. And you know what? He's improved his shot. I'm not saying we're gonna throw a bunch of threes at him, but hey, he's definitely improved his shot. And who knows? He might be able to take a three a game, because we want to shoot more threes. But I like his enthusiasm. I like his energy. I like his he has a youthfulness about him. And you know what? If you don't love the game and play with the game have some fun with it, it's a long season. It becomes really monotonous at times. And he creates a lot of excitement. I mean, I know our players. I've talked to all of our players. I've talked to John quite a bit before. And now after signing him, I've talked to him, and he's excited. John is excited to play alongside with him and have some success with him.
Don't let Dwight shoot threes. Don't run sets. Hey, don't run 3-point sets.
I've seen a lot of bad shooters shoot threes.
That's true. That doesn't mean you want to set them up.
I'm not saying I'm going to run the first play and it's going to be a hammer pass three for Dwight.
Well, it's like that old,
because you don't need to really set plays. Guys are going to be open all the time, yeah. And he will be open. But you know what? He's tough. He gives us energy. He gives us toughness. He gives us ability to roll and catch lobs.
You had Perk in Oklahoma City. Didn't you always like run that first play? Was always for Perk and the low post.
Always for Perk. I love Perk.
Get him
Perk,
a touch.
You know what? One of the things that people don't realize about Perk, Perk was a man, and we had a lot of young men on our team, and those guys loved Perk. When I would take Perk out of games, Kevin and Russell, they would almost become depressed, because he was like their comfort. He was like their little blankie. And he just made everybody feel good. And, you know, it was great to see him come back. You know, I think he deserves to be in this league. And, you know, he's not going to be a guy that gets a lot of minutes, but he can help a locker room.
He made like $30,000. He spent the entire year playing in Canton, making like $30,000. That's dedication to get yourself back into the league when he could have made six figures coaching on Ty Lue's staff, working there, man. I give him a ton of credit for playing in front of nobody just to get back for the playoffs.
I give him a lot of credit. That guy has a heart of a champion. He works like a lion. He gets out there and gets after it. I mean, he's not the most gifted player, but I tell you what, he gives you everything you have. I'd rather have a guy that gives you everything he has instead of a guy that he's sometiming with effort and sometiming with being consistent with effort during games. And there's nothing more frustrating with coaching a guy like that. But Perk, you never get frustrated with him. He gives you everything he has, and you know what? That's all you can ask for.
You mentioned when it comes to Dwight, a guy that has fun playing, and that's been kind of a double-edged sword for Dwight. Yes, he has fun playing, but sometimes the perception is he has too much fun playing, that he's not serious enough about the game. Any concerns there about the intensity with which he takes these games?
Well, you know what? The game has changed. The way players play has changed. The way coaches has changed. You have to be able to adjust. And I think it's going to a league that you want to have guys that play with free emotions, just go out there and play and have fun. And the game is open and wide open, shooting threes, layups. And I think he adds to that. Do I want a guy that's going to goof around all day, every day? No, but I want a guy that's going to have fun out there. Does he impact winning? If he impacts winning, he has it in a fun way. To me, there's nothing wrong with that. And I will look forward to seeing that firsthand. I've heard some things, but you know what? I'm judging him from what I have in front of me. And there's nothing that I'm worried about. You know, we have a really good point guard that can give a lot of easy shots to Dwight Howard, rolling and throwing lobs to him.
Have you talked to him up to this point?
I had some conversations with him. I'm excited to work with him and looking forward to training camp. And
do you think, I guess the base of that question is, like, do you get the sense that he's on the same page with what his role is going to be? I mean, you've got two volume scoring guys, two all-star caliber guys in Wall and Beal. Otto is an emerging player. I mean, he's offensively half court. I mean, his third or fourth option. You think he's comfortable with that?
Yeah, when we inquired about him and talked to his representatives and tell him how we feel like he would fit in, and he had a choice to go just about any team in the league, and he wanted to play for us because he sees the potential that we have. We haven't, this organization hasn't been able to get past the second round in 40 something years, and he's a great addition to help us get there where we want to go to. And you know what? If he has fun along the way, I support that. I want to have fun. I think winning is fun, and if he helps us win games, we should all, have fun and joke around and have a good time during games.
Do you celebrate LeBron leaving the conference?
I think every coach, there's 14 coaches in the East, will celebrate that. There's been a lot of good coaches that played against them in the East, and they couldn't get by them. And there's a lot of good teams, Boston a couple of times, Toronto a couple of times, Atlanta. There's been a lot of good teams that you just can't figure him out. He's so good. His IQ is so high. He's a coach on the floor, and everybody says that about players, but no, he is a legitimate coach on the floor. And like I said, some good coaches that coached against them couldn't get by him. Good teams that couldn't get by him. But we're glad to see him in Los Angeles, and we wish him nothing but success. I wish he would have done it a few years back.
Yeah, just not when you were out in the Western Conference. Yes. So you can, now that you're back east, clear things up. One of the things that comes up a lot as the talent again shifts more to the West is there's a clamor for reseeding, going 1-16. The argument the NBA makes against is that the travel becomes overwhelming because they also have to rebalance the regular season schedule as well. Do you have an opinion on that? If they ask the coaches, what do they think about the possibility of reseeding the playoffs? What would you say?
Well, I kind of like where it is now. I'm not saying that I'm a purist. I know the game has changed, and a lot of the rules that we've implemented in the last, decade or so has made the game a beautiful game to watch, coach, and play. But I kind of like it. If anything, maybe we can reseed after each round in each conference. Maybe that would make make it more interesting and more competitive. But it's definitely definitely the West is really good. There's the Golden State's going to be hard to beat. They've added more talent. But no matter what, you're still going to have to get through the best teams. And not always, I mean, we know the best team right now is Golden State. We don't know who the second best team in the league. It could be one of the Eastern teams, and, you know, there's a good chance it will be.
Are you one of the, I mean, there's so many people out there now say, like, God, DeMarcus Cousins goes to Golden State. I mean, it's bad for basketball. The NBA, it's a bad look for the NBA. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think the league is, the players have, you know, put themselves in a position to pick and choose where they want to go when they be.
Some of the players think it's bad too. Like, I see the tweets from Patrick Beverley and Jay Crowder, a couple other guys that are like, man, what's going on here? We just keep.
I mean, it's bad unless you're one of the players on their
team.
That's
true, yes. That's why so many veterans are going to be like, you know, you could go get back into playing uniform, get a ring in as a player there in Golden State.
I could probably be their fifth player right now.
Two-way contract.
Yeah, right?
Give you a two-way. There you go.
They, with their team, they can put anybody in the lineup and have success. Even you can shoot jump shots.
I doubt it. I'm not in shape to go up and down.
That's obvious.
It's pretty clear at this point.
Oh, that surprised me. That's shocking that, you know, you would say that about yourself.
I mean, I'm in like half court. I'm big three shape. I could play a big three game. Would you have played in the big three if it was like available for you at the end of your career?
I would have played. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I watch it. It's definitely, you got to be in shape and you got to be a young retired guy because, you know, the hamstrings, the Achilles, the back, a lot of injuries, the knees, a lot of things can go out when you play. It's competitive.
I love Scalabrine. People criticize Scal. And Scal will always say to them, like, look, I wasn't athletic or good as an NBA player, but all you guys out there think they're better than me, I'll kick your ass. Like,
exactly.
I will dominate you.
You know what? That's the crazy thing. A guy like Scal, or even, you know, there's a long list of guys that...
Did you get that in, like, the summers? I mean, you were a good player. You were an NBA player.
It's funny. People always looked at me, Scott's in the NBA. Come on. How's that guy? I should be in the NBA. But I used to always tell them, yeah, you could be, but you're not. Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of guys that tried and did not play a game, and I was fortunate to play over a decade, and I take pride in that. And it's not, trust me, it's not easy to be an NBA player, and it's not easy to stay, and as long as some of these guys have. But you're good enough to be in the NBA, and there's a lot of guys that are not good enough, are just about good enough but not quite.
Did you play a lot of pickup games?
I played every single day.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to play in today's game because all these things that they put on your body and monitor every jump and every load, every stretch, every free throw, I would not. I would have taken that out and threw it away or threw it at the guy or had fist fights with the guy that was putting it on me. I wanted to play every day. I mean, when I was trying to make a team, I worked out 5 times a day. I was psycho. I wanted to play. I wanted to make sure that nobody was going to outwork me. So when I did play against that guy, I knew I was going to be more prepared and better shaped than him.
So are today's players softer than what different generations' players are, or are they just more babied than previous?
Well,
generations?
I think the systems in place are more. It's much more smarter. The intelligence that goes into every workout is at a high level. I mean, every team does it. I mean, there's not one team in the league that doesn't monitor every action of a player. And whatever.
What's the craziest thing you were told was being monitored? What's something you were like, seriously, we're watching that?
I mean, the jumps. It's just like how many jumps that you can do during a workout. I'm like, I would have never thought of that in a million years. And I mean, the next thing is how many dribbles. And that's not a bad thing because sometimes we dribble the ball too much. I like to have that myself. You know, I have a little counter. Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Pass the ball. But you know what? I think it's good for the league. I think it's good for the players because now you're talking about their health and they can make, you know, they have an extra 2 or 3 years in the league. That's a lot of money in their pocket.
The jumps were monitored with Brad too, right? I mean, because he was, when he had the leg problems, there was a lot of scrutiny about what he's doing in practice and how much he's doing there.
And you know,
supposedly that had an impact, you know.
There's no question there. Sometimes I get frustrated with our guys, but you know what? The bottom line is they're doing what's right for the player. And Brad is a great example. You know, he's had some injuries his first 4 years. The last two, he's been able to play just about every game. And I give the credit not only to Brad, but our staff for putting him in a position to play every night. and also the practice. Brad doesn't miss practices, so that says a lot about what they're doing. And hopefully they continue to do that, and Brad can stay healthy for a lot of years.
Do you need the number for the hangover doctor this week? You know, the guy with the IV that comes over and
I don't, but I you look like you need to get a little dosed this afternoon. You stayed out way too late.
No,
did you go to the party last night?
I did not. I got in late last night. I was working all weekend. I plan on going out this
working
week.
Working all weekend?
I was working all weekend. Not all of us have one job.
That's like me saying I was working all season. That's not work.
You really want to say that? Yeah. I was working, not working.
You're outside. Working all.
I was in Fresno, California, doing some stuff. Yeah, I'm just bouncing around.
Not too
around
far
here.
From my hometown.
Where was your hometown?
Lathrop, Manteca. It's about 90 miles north of Fresno.
Okay, Fresno's become kind of a boxing hub nowadays.
Is that right?
That's right. The Save Mart Center there.
Yeah, the Save Mart. Yes.
Is putting on some good shows there. But I am going to, I have made a couple
of
appointments.
A lot of tough guys come, a lot of good athletes that are tough comes from that area, you know, especially 90 minutes
town.
North.
Yes. That's Chris Herron territory there.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But no, I'll if you need the number of the hangover guy, I've made appointments already this week. So I'm ready to go for.
What is the number? 1-800 I'm soft.
Buddy, look, some of us need to rehydrate so we can have these long days. You're here for like
it's
an hour and a half.
It's called water throughout the day.
You're here for like an hour and a half. You go out, hang out with your kid, take a nap. You probably play a little craps. I mean, this is you're on vacation
tough
already.
Life.
You got your assistants doing everything. Yeah. I want your job and your salary. Please transition that. Scott, always appreciate it, man. Great to talk to you out here.
Chris, appreciate you.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Scott Brooks for joining the show. As always, you can download archived episodes on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, really anywhere you can download podcasts. While you're there, post a comment, leave a rating. You know I appreciate it. And I'll see you next week.